We're going to talk some footy. How are you, Robert?
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm very well.
That's good.
Now, I had a bit of a discussion with you post the national draft because not only did the Sandringham Dragons do well, but actually the old Brighton Grammar not only won the flag this year, but as much to be proud of at draft time as well. But when these boys are drafted and you read the articles and watch the coverage, you think that they were hatched at TAC Cup age and they didn't play any football before or during that period other than TAC Cup.
Yeah, sometimes it appears that way. They've really got to promote the pathway, which is the under-18 competition, but there's competitions all over Australia. Like in West Australia, they play under-18, so sometimes play senior football. So I guess...
But there are also junior clubs and schools that play
a huge role.
And
yeah, well...
I really believe this, not just for one season, but I think that every player that's drafted on draft night, and we seem to be looking for content on the night because it's pretty padded, I think he should be presented as a recruit from either the TAC Cup waffle team, wherever he's played his last football, but also make it very clear what his junior club, and sometimes they have more than one, but what his original junior club was or his final junior club, pick some way of creating an equally identifiable and rewarding moment for that junior club that he comes from and the school that he plays at, because they are key in any young footballer's development.
And it's important how the three all work together. I think let's look at McGrath. It's a very good point you make, Mark. If you looked at McGrath getting called out, Sandringham Dragons, and they did outstandingly well, and we work well with them because of the APS system has to work well with the TAC Cup. If you look at McGrath, who arrived in Australia as a five-year-old from Canada, someone's taught him to play football, Mark. That you've got to really consider that. Someone at his club, which was East Brighton Vampires,
the Vamps,
has got this kid at 7, 8, 9, 10, and taught him to play the most difficult game in the world. And I think we agree. I get a little bit out of joint with that sort of thing because I've got the same philosophy at the draft. McGrath, you know, Sandringham Dragons, you know, a fantastic performance by their club. But, you know, he came into our school at grade six. So he's made an enormous contribution to our school. And before that, as I said, the recognition and the outstanding ability of his coaches at the Vampires to be able to teach this kid to play the game. And then, what is he, just turned 18. And then 10 years later, he becomes the number one draft pick. So it's something, I reckon they used to do it, Mark. And whether they thought that it encroached on the time, they used to say the club, the school, and their TAC club.
I think it's essential. It's essential for these junior football clubs to share in some of the glory. And we do in the off season with Paul Daffy, Pushing the Burbs has a sort of natural follow on, and we do an hour called Small Town Sporting Heroes. And spoke, I think it was to Balnarring, which is that holiday getaway with the picnic race meeting. But they don't have a senior club, but they've got a junior club. And that junior club has in the last couple of years produced some players that have been drafted. It's a phenomenal effort, but save for listening to that hour, and to be honest, I can't really remember who the players are, but save for listening from that hour, you wouldn't know the achievement of that little club or the junior club.
Yeah, and on the other side, you know, the school system, you look at it, there's a fantastic story. You might have picked it up, and Ashley Brown, our colleague, wrote a great article on this kid called Ollie Hanrahan that went Hawthorne's first pick in the rookie draft. He was originally in a in the TAC Cup program at the Sandringham Dragons, but I've got to get the wording right. He was requested to give up his cricket at a young age to focus on his football. This kid said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'll go back and play footy and cricket with my school. And so he stayed with St. Kevin's all the way through, didn't have any access to TAC Cup program. made the choice to commit to his school and got drafted. It's a fantastic story. I'm very smart and a very, very clever footballer.
The number of players that played in the APS competition, I think this year, top end talent was pretty staggering. And we're talking about not only through Brighton Grammar, but other schools as well. There's APS and GPS, grammar schools. And what's the delineation?
Well, there's the APS and the AGVS, yep. So, you know, Marcelin, Sumptionist and Grammar, and then there's our competition, Melbourne Grammar, Scotch. So I think the APS got 20% that went to schools in the APS system of the draft selection. So, look, we don't want to pat ourselves on the back. I think the point you made is recognise that these young men have had a marvellous journey. And the conveyor belt, the final leg of the conveyor belt is through the under-16s and the under-18s at Cat Cup, and it's a marvellous competition. But somewhere along the lines, these boys were taught to play football by some very dedicated junior coaches at all local clubs, both country and metropolitan.
Now, just been pointed out, Balnarring are yet to have a player drafted, but next year are expecting a youngster by the name of Aaron Darling to get picked up. And Mount Martha in the region, famous junior football club for producing cricketers. It would also assist, wouldn't it, Shorey, in parents making a choice for a good junior football club to go to if they believe that their child has above average ability. A club can build up a reputation and deserves to be publicly noted as such, and that will, as I say, assist in directing young players to clubs that have got a reputation for producing winners.
Yeah, and you want to get into these programs as early as you can. You obviously want to combine your school. You also, very importantly, want to keep playing a variety of sports, because I think that's really important. And I think there was an issue going on in the southeast suburbs where there's 21 boys that had to give up their junior cricket because the Dragons train on the same night. So boys are sort of they're not being forced. They're being made to make a decision that, okay, I've got my junior cricket. I've got my last year of my junior cricket, but if I don't go to that, I might miss out on getting onto a TAC Cup squad list. So, and obviously I strongly disagree with that, because the balance of life between school, playing your summer sport, playing your winter sport, whether it's cricket or basketball or something, and I've seen it firsthand, people that are multi-skilled and have a great balance in their school life and their social life and, of course, their sports life become a far better product than if a kid is forced to make a decision at under 16 to just dedicate himself to football, because the odds are, Mark, he won't, you know, it's very difficult for them to make it. So we've just got to be careful with the pressure we put on our kids.
Great call, Robert. We're going to have to leave it there, but a man that certainly has the experience at the coalface to make that sort of call. Take it as true, but apparently young Aaron Darling from Balnarring's done his knee and won't play next year. That doesn't mean he can't make it onto an AFL list. We've seen that happen before.